Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Live and unedited, this is Amp Radio. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast, episode number 2. You know, and as we're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of San Mateo, California, let's meet the host, fighting out of the red corner, the man up north, the Maple Leaf himself, the man who never has to say sorry about any of his calls, the man who always brings his A game, Proteus.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And the man down south, fighting out of the blue corner, the man who's undefeated in MMA because he's never fought in MMA, the one and only legendary Joe from H-Town. Joe.
Good morning, fellas.
Gentlemen, what a night. This is incredible. I can't believe actually what happened. A lot of news. The first and foremost, what we have to say is, you know, listen, thanks to Gigi and the way, you know, MMA Radio and the fans embraced us on our first show, episode 1. Follow us on Twitter, by the way. I always forget to do that. The Maple Leaf himself, at Prados, P-R-O-A-D-O-S, at JoeDaddy85, at DJ Tony Radio, and at another MMA cast. Gentlemen, of course, rest in peace, Muhammad Ali. Gentlemen, let's get into the reaction of the Junkie Nation and Gigi and how they embraced us.
Yeah, man, I've seen nothing but positive comments and feedback, and hearing Gigi say what he said about us was just fantastic.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome. You know, who knew that starting a podcast with two people that I didn't know, you know, maybe a year ago, that could turn me into a superstar, man. Who knew?
You are a superstar. I mean, you and Proteus, honestly, you know, the one thing is I always forget to do the little things, you guys, but I got to thank both of you guys. You guys are my friends. I consider you guys my friends. You know, we're a little family here in Junkie Nation, but, you know, first off, props to Joe and all his hard work and you know, and getting all the guests on. Proteus, who without him we don't have a Twitter feed. So thanks a lot, you guys. Any reaction to Muhammad Ali in his passing? You know, I didn't get a lot of years to watch him. I saw him as a child when my dad was watching him fight. But did you guys get? How did you guys feel about Muhammad Ali's passing?
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, you know, it was very sad. You know, it was very sad to see him struggle the way he had the last, you know, decade and a half. You know, I always remember him shaking with the torch at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, man. And, you know, he took so much damage in his career. And he was the greatest, man. He was the greatest fighter to ever live in any combat sports. Not only in the ring, but outside, he did so much, and to change the way, you know, people viewed African Americans, to change the way people viewed athletes, and it's very sad, man. That the emotion on Twitter was surreal, man.
Yeah, everybody had something to say about the topic, and I agree with you, Joe. It was really, really sad to see someone who was so great live his life the way he did in the past, or the last 10 years. And I know it's terrible to say, but he is no longer suffering. And I think that's something that we need to highlight here.
Yeah. I mean, he was, I think without him, I don't think you have the McGregors of the world. I don't think you have the Bispings of the world. It's, you know, he brought something, he brought entertainment as well as being one hell of a fighter. He brought entertainment, and again, I think he's a little bit before our times a tad, because we were probably children at the time, but it's I'm really happy that the MMA world embraced him, and Dana White, right, huge fan of boxing. Gentlemen, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up the fact some of the news. Joe, I mean, what you got on the news?
Yeah, man, it was very unfortunate, man. A good buddy of mine, I've known for about 8 or 9 years, Ariel Helwani, man. You know, he got the boot, man, from UFC 189 last night, and along with Esther and Casey, also friends of mine I've known for years, man. And it just kind of made me sick, man, to be honest with you, man. You know, they've been around for a long time. They traveled to a whole bunch of shows, man, and, you know, to let Ariel go to boot him out for reporting news. I mean, he reported the Brock Lesnar news. He reported the Conor McGregor, the Diaz fight before the UFC did, man. So, yeah, just pretty disgusting, man, to overshadow a great. I mean, last night was freaking great. The fights were awesome, but it's overshadowed, man, by this unfortunate news.
Go ahead. Sorry,
go ahead, Tony.
What does that mean, though, for Ariel and MMA fighting? Because obviously Luke Thomas and Jeff Wagenheim and I forgot what the man in the hat's name is, but what does
Chuck
this mean?
Mendenhall,
Chuck Mendenhall. What does this mean for Esther, Casey, and for Ariel? Because that means they can no longer attend UFC shows. What does this mean for their career, guys?
There's not a lot of news coming out just yet about what it's going to the consequences and the repercussions are going to be. I was listening to the MMA Roadshow before we got on here, and even those guys that are in the know don't really know what it means. And John Morgan tried to ask a question yesterday at last night at the press conference, and the UFC declined to put any comment out. I don't know what it means moving forward. You know, we always hear Ben Folks say that he can cover the sport from the comfort of his own couch. So it's going to change. It's definitely going to change MMA fighting's the way they do things, the way the post and the pre-fight shows moving forward. I don't know if all of MMA fighting is banned or if it's just Ariel.
The funny thing is, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, they actually had a couple guys. Mark Raimondi was there. Dave Doyle was there in L.A. I'm not sure if they got the boot last night also. But, they're going to go on, man. Ariel is in this for the long haul, man. You know, he lives and dies for this stuff, as I think we do. And, you know, Sure Dog went so many years without being credentialed, man. And they're still around. They ain't going nowhere, man. So they're going to keep chugging this boat along, man. And, hopefully this gets resolved. Hopefully UFC realizes the horrible mistake they made, the embarrassing mistake they made. They look so bad right now, man. So hopefully they realize that and make this right.
Go ahead, Brodius.
How are you going to ban the top journalist in the sport? Like, arguably, he's the top journalist. I mean, everybody knows his face. Everybody listens to his show. I just don't understand I do understand because it's the UFC. And Jeremy Botter, I think it was Jeremy Botter, that said something quite interesting on Twitter this morning. You know, it just shows that the UFC under the Zuffo management will never be big time. They'll never be included in one of the, with the big sports in the United States of America if they keep doing stuff like this.
Now, I'm moving ahead a tad here, but if in fact, like Botter said, that the UFC does get sold, do you think they bring them back, meaning Ariel and everyone else that's been banned that, basically, I'm assuming it's Dana White? Is that fair, guys?
Yeah, I think that's 100% fair to say. Yeah, I don't see that it would be anybody else but Dana.
Yeah, and coming up, obviously, so just a little break here, guys, to get into our guests for today. We, of course, have USA Today's and MMA Junkie's editor-in-chief, the creator of MMA Junkie, Dan Stupp. And we also have one of our favorite callers, Dr. Hal, right? Hal from Chicago calling in. I got to ask you this, guys, because I'm all confused. Russ, the real deal Russ, right, set me straight here in terms of facts. Do we really have a Junkie Hall of Fame, you guys? Is there, in fact, a Junkie Hall of Fame and I'm just missing it?
I don't know anything about the Junkie Hall of Fame, but there are definitely people who we hold in esteem as longtime listeners and callers to the show.
Yeah,
I believe there is a
Hall of Fame, and it's all on GOES. He anoints people every year, I believe. Man, I really can't remember the last person who went in, so I really don't know who was in and who was out. I'm definitely not. Hal is not. Russ is in. So Russ wins. He's the big winner. He's the greatest of all time.
Wow,
Is that some of the stuff that is listed on GOESJITSU.com?
Yeah,
been updated, guys? Has GOESJITSU been updated? Because I haven't think it's been updated in a while.
Nah, he's a slacker. GOES is a slacker. I love you, GOES.
Hey, I think we have the great Dan Stump calling in. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Stump, MMA Junkies editor-in-chief, and he also was named, by the way, USA Today senior MMA editor. Dan, welcome to AMP Radio, another MMA junkie. Another MMA podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, and congrats on getting the show off the ground.
Yeah, Dan.
Honestly, it wouldn't have happened without you, because you are the founder and creator of MMA Junkie. You're founder and creator of the show that we love, MMA Junkie Radio, with the gorgeous George and GOES. So thank you. I know that, listen, our host, Joe, wanted to leave things off, but we're fanboying out here. So if we make mistakes, Dan, forgive us. You created the show that we love. So
ain't no thing.
Yeah, Dan, man, like I told you before, we're just three fans of MMA Junkie Radio, man, and, we just feel like there was a little bit of void to fill, man, and then we just want to give the fans of MMA Junkie, an opportunity. We're going to have a guest on, and we're going to have a junkie on each episode, man, so just want to let you get a little background, but, man, I just want to get right into it. You're the guy who started it all, man. George calls you the original junkie, man. Man, how in the heck did you end up in this crazy MMA business here?
Honestly, it started about 10 years ago, and I think it was a lot of kind of what you guys were experiencing before you started the show. You're just an MMA fan. You're looking for a way to kind of expand that fandom and looking for ways to get more engaged with the sport. And 10 years ago, I was working for the Cincinnati Reds in their creative services department. So I was doing a lot of website stuff and publications and writing speeches for the executives and pretty much all kinds of different types of writing and stuff that translated really well to kind of what I'm doing today. I just, it was around baseball so much, but I was really enjoying MMA. And kind of like you guys, I saw kind of a void there. Back then it was pretty much Sherdog and MMA Weekly. There really weren't a whole lot of other websites, at least ones that aren't, they're not around anymore. But, those were pretty much the only two doing it. And I think anyone at that time, about 10 years ago, was right after the Ultimate Fighter first season. You could tell the sport was getting ready to take off. So it felt like a good opportunity because I really, really liked MMA and most of my friends didn't. So everyone has this kind of underground feel that they're following a sport that most people don't. But then on top of it, I thought there was kind of a business opportunity there that the website probably could get big. I never imagined it'd get this big, but it just came down to being an MMA fan and wanting to get more involved and seeing an opportunity to do it.
Dan, I got to ask you this because I'm born and raised in San Francisco, and I was reading your bio, and you actually worked for the San Francisco Chronicle. Were you here in the city, or were you doing that all out of Ohio?
Yeah, I was doing it out of Ohio. It wasn't anything too major. I was pretty much right out of college, and I'd write some game previews and series previews and stuff like that. But, you know, it was covering baseball, which I love. But, you know, just doing that for a couple of years, it actually kind of made me a Giants fan because they had some fun teams back then.
Go Gyros.
So, Dan, Proteus here with you. And with your involvement in baseball, I had a quick question about what you think about this whole USADA thing and the UFC bringing them in. Do you think that this USADA and the testing and everything would ever fly in baseball?
Yeah, I mean, the baseballs, they have some pretty strict drug testing now, and, you know, it's a little easier for them just because, you know, they have a players union that, you know, works on their behalf, and they kind of hash out the details where, for the most part, everyone thinks it's a fair deal. I think, you know, the problem with some of the UFC stuff with USADA's, you know, obviously people talk about it a lot. They're independent contractors, so it's not real clear how much, pull or authority they have over the fighters to tell them to do this. And I'm sure some of them could have pushed back. But, I mean, I'm all for more drug testing. I just, you know, I think the fighters should have a say in everything, you know, when it comes to being told what to do, especially when they're independent contractors like they are.
Yeah, totally agree, man. And going back to the Junkie real quick, you know, how did you find George and Goes? I mean, were you just a fan like us, you know, listening to, online podcast? Or how did that come about that you found those guys and came to a deal?
Yeah, George had actually reached out to us at the time. I think at the time we might have still been UFC Junkie. But they had just gotten their show off the ground, you know, Tag Radio at the time. And they just did some advertising on our website, you know, just a little banner ad. And so I started paying attention to the show. And a big thing that they were doing at the time that a lot of people weren't doing and a lot of people still don't do is, you know, with Frank Trigg co-hosting, they got a lot of really good guests, you know, fighters and executives and broadcasters. And, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot of that, those kind of interviews being done at the time just because there weren't that many websites. And, you know, I told George, I was like, hey, you know, we could recap these interviews because they were kind of doing the interviews on the radio show. And that was kind of the end of it. People weren't, you know, if you didn't listen to the show, you don't know what was going on. And there was some news being broken and some really good fighter interviews. So we started recapping the Tag Radio interviews for stories on MMA Junkie. And that's actually how John Morgan first got involved with both the show and MMA Junkie. But then, you know, some kind of behind-the-scenes business stuff, and George was looking kind of for a new partner, and they were trying to figure out the future of the show. So, you know, at one point it made sense that we kind of acquired the show, brought them into the Junkie family. You know, George had some equity in MMA Junkie before we sold to USA Today. So it just worked out real well. But, you know, for me and for everyone at MMA Junkie, you know, to really partner up or acquire a show like that, it had to be the right people. You know, we get – there's a lot of kind of jerks and, you know, just unprofessional people in our industry, and you always want to align yourself with the good folks and the true fans and the guys who handle themselves well. And that was definitely George and Goes and Trick originally. So once there was an opportunity to partner with them, it made sense because those were the type of people we wanted to align ourselves with.
Hey, Dan, I want to ask you this. My first sport, you know, I played baseball forever. I played, you know, honestly in college, but not as a not as a college baseball player, just, you know. But you've extensively written two books, Tom Browning's Tales from the Reds Dugout and The Great American Ballpark. I didn't know you were an author, and actually I just ordered your Tom Browning's book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't any, you know, big Pulitzer-winning titles or any big feats of journalism or anything. But, you know, just at the time working for the Reds and you know, an opportunity came up. One of the cool things was my first year working for the Reds was Ken Griffey Jr.'s first year at the Reds, which, you know, 16 years ago, that was a huge, huge deal, especially for Cincinnati, which had, you know, had some pretty bad teams, and there wasn't a whole lot going on, so that kind of rejuvenated, you know, the city and the baseball team and the fans. And I got hired in 2000, and pretty much from then on, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. got everyone excited, and then they announced that they were going to build a new ballpark in 2003. So pretty much from my first day working for the Reds, I was working on the new ballpark and helping promote that and work with the media to get stuff out there. And then a book publisher came to us and was like, hey, we do this series when new ballparks and arenas open. You know, we do a book, we take a bunch of photos, you know, we do a little background on how the project came together. So we did that one. You know, it was popular in Cincinnati. Obviously, I don't think people outside of Reds fans are going to be too excited about the opening of a Reds ballpark. But then that led the same publishing company to – they had a series of books called Tales from the Dugout, and they would take a popular player from, you know, one of the teams, and then that guy would tell stories, or they would take a few players. So anyway, Tom Browning was kind of Mr. Cincinnati. You know, he wasn't like a Cooperstown Hall of Famer. He was a Reds Hall of Famer, but he had a really cool career. You know, won 20 games as a rookie, threw a perfect game, won a World Series in 1990 with the team, was on an All-Star team. So he was a really good guy to work with, and I had so much fun doing that book. But, you know, they were little projects kind of geared toward Reds fans, but it was a lot of fun, and if nothing else, it was good writing experience to understand kind of how to undertake a project of that size. And it made me realize I probably never want to do a book again because of the stress and the work and everything, but it was fun to do at the time.
Now, Dan, I think you've told the story before, man, how George and Goes were kind of on their last legs, and you came into the picture. Is there a way you can share that maybe real quickly, and how I'm going to say it, man, you saved MMA Junkie Radio.
Now, I get a lot of credit for that, and I know George is quick to credit me for it, but, I mean, it was really a matter of him reaching out, kind of explaining what they could do for us, you know, keep doing the good interviews and do it under the MMA Junkie name. And at the time, we were partners with Yahoo Sports, but I think we knew eventually within a couple years we were probably going to want to sell the company to a bigger media company just because we needed the extra resources, you know, just the tech people and the designers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we were kind of looking, you know, what would make our company look better to bigger companies, and having our own radio show and bringing Tag Radio under the MMA Junkie banner definitely made sense. So George had just reached out to see if it was something we might be interested in. Just kind of fluke luck, he happened to have a flight coming through Cincinnati where I lived at the time, so we got together for lunch, talked it out. I talked to the other co-founders and co-owners at the time. And we got it done. So, you know, I think it really worked out great for everyone. It worked out, obviously, for MMA Junkie. It was great having our own radio show and those interviews. Worked out for the radio guys because they could keep doing their show. But I think it worked out for the readers and the listeners and everything, too, because, you know, eventually it led them to, you know, the studio in at Mandalay Bay and the Sirius XM show. So, thankfully, it was one of those deals where kind of everyone came out ahead, and I'm thrilled that, you know, we were able to pull it off, and George and Goes are some of my best friends now. They're just good guys.
That's pretty awesome. Now, we did have one question from a listener, and having trouble finding it, but he Ray from San Antonio basically wanted to know, what you guys have a great staff assembled at Junkie, but is there one or two guys maybe that you've have the, you know, maybe the highest respect for that in the sport of MMA?
Well, you're asking me which employees I don't think are good.
No. You have a great team.
Okay, well, here's my top three, and then I'll tell you all the ones that suck that we have on staff. No, I think, you know, obviously the radio guys and I are really close, and George and I especially, you know, we've become really good friends. But John Morgan was the first kind of outside guy who came in to work for us. He was our first official hire, and He and I used to travel on the road quite a bit for a couple of years. I mean, we were doing Strike Force shows and Elite XC and Affliction. I mean, we were driving from Vegas to Anaheim to, my God, we went to an event in Stockton, California, so that's how you know it's pretty serious. But you know, he and I go back, and, you know, we've kind of butted heads before and stuff, but he really is like a brother and a guy I have the most respect for. And then, you know, Steven Morocco joined us pretty early on. He's been around a while, and I think he's definitely one of the most underrated and underappreciated reporters in our sport, mainly because he's covering a lot of stuff that people don't like, you know, drug testing stuff, legal issues, regulatory issues. Those aren't the type of stories where fighters are like, oh, hey, you got to go check out this really cool story that so-and-so wrote. You know, it's stuff that usually doesn't show guys in the best light, but it's important that we report that stuff so people know what's going on kind of behind the scenes. But, you know, everyone we've hired, I've got a story about, you know, when USA Today bought us, the first guy I got to go out and hire was Matt Erickson. He was a guy I'd been trying to hire for like 2 or 3 years just because he can do everything. He can write, he can report, he can edit, he can do photos, he can do video stuff, and he's just a real hard worker and a really good guy. And then, you know, then we brought in Ben Folks and, you know, then Mike Bond and Fernanda, and it just, it keeps going on. But, you know, the cool thing about our company, and I think everyone who works for us kind of has the same mentality, that we're really careful about who we kind of bring into the Junkie family, because we have our way of doing things, and you know, we want to celebrate the sport more than we want to kind of tear it down and crap on it. But, you know, we still have, you know, important stories we have to cover, but we're just real careful about the personalities and stuff we bring in. And I think the team we have now, you know, I love our team, I love the guys I work with, and that's one of the reasons I really like the job.
Hey, Dan, I got to ask you this. Obviously, not only are you the founder and co-creator of MMA Junkie, you're also literally still in journalism with USA Today, being, you know, the senior MMA editor. A lot of news dropped yesterday, and I think the biggest news for journalists is Ariel Helwani, you know, Esther and Casey being banned from UFC 199, and I guess potentially being banned from all UFC shows. What does that mean to the sport, and most importantly, you know, what's your take on it, and what do you see for Ariel, the fact that he really is banned from all UFC events now, fired from Fox, unfortunately, and now banned from UFC? What does that mean to the sport? What does that mean to Ariel, et cetera?
I mean, you know, when I saw it, I missed most of it online last night. I got up this morning and was catching up on it, and I mean, I wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm not. That's how the UFC operates. They've operated that way for a while. You know, we've had credentials pulled or threatened to be pulled or certain guys on our staff were singled out. And, you know, it's how they do business, and it's kind of ridiculous. And it was only a matter of time before it kind of came to a head, and I think, you know, just not Ariel, but Esther and Casey. I mean, those are two of the nicest people in the sport. Yep. Those are people who live and die MMA, and they're two of the most creative people, not just in MMA, but, you know, anywhere in the media. So, yeah, I mean, it's totally disappointing. I, you know, like most things with the UFC, they a lot of times they'll make kind of snap decisions and maybe not fully think it out, or, you know, I'm still hopeful that it'll be resolved and Ariel will probably be back before the next event. But, you know, I think the UFC kind of, you know, thought they were teaching him a lesson or something. But, you know, we've already seen the blowback. It's just not the MMA sites covering that story. Ben Folks did a really great story on MMA Junkie today. But a lot of the mainstream sports people who cover the business of sports media have picked up on it. So, I think the UFC wanted to kind of slap Ariel's wrist, and I don't think they realized the can of worms that they were going to open up.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, Dan, we'd be totally remiss if we didn't actually ask you about the fights last night. In the main event, we saw a British fighter named Michael Bisping who captured the middleweight title. Now, I was listening to the MMA Roadshow this morning, and I heard Simon Hitt say that it's going to be a really, really big thing for British sport. Can you see this changing the landscape in the UK? Can you see more people getting into the sport like Conor McGregor has done for Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think it'll have a bit of an impact. I think more than anything, it'll kind of rejuvenate the British fans who are already there. You know, they haven't had a whole lot to get excited about lately. You know, I think when Bisping beat Silva, that kind of gave them a spark, and this is obviously going to put it over the top. But, you know, I don't think it's just the UK. I think a lot of people just across the world, like media people like me who have been covering the sport for a decade, like, you know, I remember Bisping's first tough season, and, you know, he was kind of, you know, one of the early favorites to win the show, and people had even mentioned, you know, possible future champion and stuff. And, you know, I think, though, a lot of people thought maybe that would happen within a couple years. I don't think they thought they'd have to wait, you know, 9 or 10 years to get it. But I think that makes the story even better, you know. And I think it serves as kind of inspiration for a lot of guys who are, you've been in the sport in a while and grinding away. You know, a guy like Uriah Faber, you know, you kind of, you know, he's had some bad luck winning UFC titles. But, you know, just not him. I think any guy who hasn't yet won a title sees a guy like Michael Bisping, who, you know, a lot of fans would have said, yeah, he's past his prime, his best days are behind him. But it kind of gives you some hope that, you know, maybe that's not the case. And the fact that he's been so outspoken against steroids and performance-enhancing drugs and everything, like, you know, I know a lot of people don't like him, and he talks a lot of crap and stuff, but when it comes to being a sportsman and fighting clean and fair, maybe not fair, the eye pokes and stuff, but at least fighting clean, you know, he's one of the good guys, and it's good to see good guys get rewarded like that. And, you know, it's no knock at Luke Rockhold or anything, but I always find it a little more special when the older guys, you know, win a title, and maybe it's just because I'm getting older too, so...
Hey, Dan, obviously a tremendous card last night. I really didn't think it was going to be much of a card, and I was completely surprised. Besides Bisping, anyone else that impressed you that you really – we didn't have a Cody Garbrandt or anything like that, but is there anyone that impressed you that kind of took the limelight up until the Bisping deal?
Yeah, for me personally, I you know, kind of we've got this big featherweight shuffle going on, and yeah, now we know McGregor's coming back, but obviously it's a featherweight fight, and then they booked Aldo and Edgar for the interim title, and Max Holloway was kind of the odd man out, and I think a lot of people, even with his real big long win streak, I think a lot of people are like, yeah, he kind of should be the odd man out, he's just not on that top level yet, but I think last night, you know, against Ricardo Lamas, he proved that not only does he deserve to be on that same level as McGregor and Aldo and Edgar, but, you know, I'm kind of excited now with the quick hands and the confidence and the speed. I really would like, you know, I feel good about his chances against, you know, McGregor or whoever wins the interim title or something. So he was the one who really, you know, blew me away. Dominic Cruz had a really... He had a good win in the co-headliner, but just as far as really kind of surprising me and I think surprising a lot of other people and kind of announcing himself as a legit threat to the title, for me, Max Holloway was kind of the guy who really stood out.
Hey, Dan, you know, we want to first and foremost always be cognizant of the time. We want to thank you. Dan, I got to be honest with you. I don't think you have bigger fans in this business than you have in us. I am so happy that you give us the content that we need, and just, you know, hopefully you'll continue to come up with more stuff. I think we need, you know, more podcasts. I think we need more content from you guys, and you're the best, Dan. You're literally a pioneer in this industry for being such a young man, and we thank you for keeping alive MMA Junkie Radio, which we love. So thank you for your time, Dan. You're really it's a pleasure and an honor to have you on Amp Radio.
No problem. Honestly, guys, thanks for having me on. Like, I get a lot of credit for what Junkie's done, but, you know, so much of it's the staff and such a loyal fan base of readers and radio listeners. And it definitely makes me feel good knowing that it inspired guys like you to start your own project. So, you know, I get I get a lot of satisfaction and feel really great about that. So congrats to you guys, and thanks for the kind words.
Thanks, Dan. Godspeed, and you're the best. Thanks a lot. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
How about that, you guys? An incredible thing. We went into the incredible Dan stuff of MMA Junkie, and now I don't care what the facts are. I'm going to say it right now, guys. In my eyes, a Junkie Hall of Famer and Hal from Chicago. Hal, welcome to Amp Radio.
Coming at you in the immortal words of Morrissey from the Smiths. Every day, it's like Sunday. And I'm talking, of course, it's MMA talk time. Just get over to Joe.
Good morning, fellas. Hey, I was talking about yesterday because I was looking at Twitter and I didn't see anybody was meeting with MMA media. So how did y'all have a good time? I don't understand. And
my wife listens to Junkie when I listen to it, and I know a lot of people have said it, but I gotta say it, Hal, you do a better version of me than me. I mean, this is incredible. I'm not joking. So Joe, go ahead. Sorry to butt in. Hal, you're amazing. Go ahead, Joe.
What's up,
yeah,
bro?
Man.
What's up,
Hal? Just want to say thanks for coming on, man. You're an awesome caller, man. You entertain the shit out of us, man. That's straight up, man. And I just want to ask you, man, like, how did you find Junkie Radio, man? And how did you get the gall to start doing these impersonations?
Is Proteus with us?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here, sir.
What's up, Proteus? What's up, Proteus?
What up?
I haven't done Proteus yet. It's tough to do his voice. But if I were to do him, he'd probably sound something like, Michael Bisping is the middleweight champion of the world. Now, let your mind wrap around that for a second, fellas.
Not bad.
Joke, man.
I started listening to you in 2011. It was funny. You know, yesterday I was in L.A. for UFC 189, and Buffalo Blue made a good comment. He's like, wow, we got a lot of old-school junkies here. Hal's actually the biggest noob here, which was awesome. So that was awesome for me to be a part of that with those folks down there, just to see like a lot of the old school tag people. But I started listening about 2011, man. It was literally the first time that I got a smartphone. It was 2011 before I got a smartphone. And I was like, all right, so what's this podcast thing? I just started typing in MMA, and then I found Junkie. I tune in, and it's these two Latino guys, and they're jamming to the Strokes. They were listening to The Strokes. I had never heard The Strokes. And they're playing You Only Live Once by The Strokes. It was Strokes Week because Ghost was going to the concert. And so I hear this awesome song. I get hooked on that. They're talking MMA. People are coming in. They're clowning on them. They're like, they're going back and forth. It was almost like a, what is this, like a Howard Stern for MMA? I mean, maybe that's going too far, but it really was. It was just like MMA, and that's exactly what I was looking for. And it was a lot of first sight, man. What can you say? I've listened to every episode since then.
You keep going.
Yeah, let's go into the impressions, Hal.
I just always did that, man. I've just always been kind of a, you know, clown. And as far as Junkie, yeah, like a long time ago, you guys ever used to watch Bodog?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Bodog was this, by the guy that I forgot his name right now, looks like Bono, Calvin Ayers, something like that, he used to put on these fights, man, and they were old school. They'd fight like on a beach, they could fight in Russia, and Hoyce Gracie would do like he was kind of like the Ron Crook or like the Jim Gray, but like the most horrible Jim Gray, because they'd go to him. And they'd be like, Hoyce, what do you think about Chael Sonnen versus, you know, I forgot who we was fighting back then. And they said, like, well, man, Chael got good wrestling, but man, the other guy, he trained real hard. He got good stand-up. Anything can happen. And that was it. He would just repeatedly state the obvious, give me nothing, but hey, it was toys, and he kind of smiled and say like, man, he's the best, but you very good too, man. Just like never take a stand. And so I would just kind of start doing that with my buddies, and they'd be like, dude, you sound like just like that's hilarious. And then I called in one day, and it was it was King Mo, Morgan, and the boys, and I was breaking down an Anderson fight, and I said, man, you know, anything can happen, but I think he's gonna get caught in the spider's web. and they just had a good laugh with it, and I just started kind of calling in and doing more. And then the real funny part is the callers, man. That's the thing with the show. I think you know when you're a junkie when you start listening for the callers, which is me now. Like
that's right.
You know, real life confession. I fast forward through a lot of fighter interviews. I really do. I've got, you know, boys, forgive me. Some of them, I mean, they're great, but sometimes, you know, you only have so much time for podcasts. And I want to know what's, you know, the next DJ Tony. I want to know how Goz and Joe are going to go at it today. I want to know, you know, like how Marco, wait, no, that's not true. I don't really want to know what Marco has to say. But you know, but most of my callers, I call in, I tune in to hear him, and Marco's the man. He's an awesome guy in person. I bust his balls, but yeah, We always gotta give it to Marco. But yeah, man, that's the power of the Junkie Nation, is all the crazy little personalities, you know? It's like we're our own little whack pack or something, you know? It's great.
Yeah, that's right. You nailed it right on the head there, Hal. So you mentioned that you obviously were flying home from California today. So being at the event, how were the fights for you? I mean, we had some major fights, and especially in the main event. With the title change,
did
that go absolutely nuts or what?
Yeah, I think I passed out after halfway into the Callaway fight. No, I'm just kidding. I was good. I hung in there. You know, shout out to 5-Hour Energy, which comes in five delicious flavors. Five, it's like 15 now, actually, right? I've only seen three in Chicago. We get fucking grape. Maybe you get grape. We get the damn berry, and that's it. You know, I don't, an orange. But, yeah, man, I just got the plane. That energy in that place, holy shit. Everybody that was talking about L.A., bring it, boo, they're never going to come back. You guys aren't bringing it like Houston and all this shit. I don't know who was calling in about that. Somebody got head kicked by Gigi the other day. Maybe it was Dan or something. I think it was Dan from Oregon. Holy cow. Sold out Forum. That place was electric. I mean, they had guys cheering for guys that weren't the hometown guy. I mean, real MMA fans, I mean, like, into it. Of course, in our, you know, in our section, we had a lot of idiots. It seemed like the BW3.
Yeah, Hal, man, real quick, man, you know, I know I'm always a fan of, like, who's there, man. I want to see who's there. I want to see some pictures. I'm a dumbass like that, man. But who all was there in L.A., man, and what did you guys do before? What did you guys do after?
Did we lose Hal?
Hal from Chicago.
Sounds like it.
Going once. All right.
Oh,
man.
No. Did
he'll
we lose
call
Hal?
He'll
back
probably,
in. That's interesting.
You know what? His phone is goes underwater sometimes, man. So he probably went underwater. He's holding his breath right now. And he might come back, man, but we'll see if he calls back, man.
Oh,
that's
man.
Really interesting.
I got to be honest with you guys. Man, I was cracking up when Hal was on.
Oh, for sure.
What an idiot I was. I'm sorry. He makes me laugh, guys.
It really so, interesting what he was saying about the forum. I was watching the preview show with Ariel Helwani, and he said that the forum is a really great place for fights, and that's why they had fights there so much, so often in the past. It's really cool to see that Hal being there backed up that statement.
I got to be honest with you guys. I was big fans of Proteus. I just think when Proteus came back, you know, to Junkie and just started calling, he was either the first or the second call, you know, every single time. Here's Hal. Let's get him back, guys.
Yes.
Coming at you, right. Hal from Chicago. You know, as the great Daryl Hall once said, we got private eyes. They're coming at you. Coming at you, Hal.
I love that song, by the way.
What's up, man? Did you get my question, Hal?
Yeah, you said your question was about how many Jaeger bombs I did. What did you ask?
Well, first of all, I can't believe you were not passed out, man. Because I've seen the pictures, man. You're always passed out at the fight. I don't believe you that you say you weren't passed out. But let's move on, man. I just want to know who all was there and what did you guys go after?
Well, I got to tell you, what happens in L.A. stays in L.A.
Oh, come on, man.
You know, I don't think people would want to hang out with me very much if they knew that I was going to come on a podcast and talk all about it. But in general, let's just say, you know, we all watch the fights. Yes, I did stay awake, but it was not easy. I'll give you that. I turned 40 this year, and every year it just gets harder and harder to hang with these animals, I tell you. I mean, it did help that, you know, there was the floor was pretty cool. You could actually, like, go outside and, you know, get some air, get some sunshine, kind of catch your wind, and then drink our energy, and then just head right back in the round, which is always a challenge for me. But I'm a five-round fighter. My cardio is impeccable. I train with beasts. I've trained with the best, you know. I mean, you got to come together. Yep.
Hal, I gotta ask you this. So you're obviously an educated man. You're a very learned man. I believe you're a psychologist. You know, one question I've been dying to ask you: can you capture a person's true personality through those, you know, two to five minute calls? And if you can, what do you capture? And who's the oddest caller you've encountered?
Well, I mean, that's easy. That's Joe from H-Town, probably right there. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. It is amazing that you can catch a lot about a person, but honestly, I mean, every time I've met any junkie in person, they're always, you know, a lot more interesting and a lot cooler, you know, when you get to sit down and have a couple beers with them and just shoot the breeze. I mean, people, especially the internet, you know, some people are just kind of different online. And as far as the calls, man, I mean, I like Clearwater. I'm going to lose a lot of, you know, get a lot of eye rolls with that one, but I get entertained by that. You know, Marco, my man, you know, I bust his balls, and maybe I don't always want to hear the UFC cheerleading, but Marco's also a kind person. So, yeah, I'd say no, not really. I mean, you can get a sense of a little bit. I mean, we know Budo's, you know, I hope he's not really, you know, walking around all day complaining. I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure he's a happy guy, and he enjoys himself. He just kind of calls to be a little bit of a troll and instigator. So, no, I think, you just got to understand, like, callers, some of them, they take on characters, and they call in to have fun and contribute to the show. And so it's – I try not to make too many judgments out of that, you know.
Yeah, we're all our own personalities. We all have to be ourselves, right? We saw Dan Henderson fight again last night. What's up with Dan? Do you think that he's done now, or do you think getting that big knockout again will get him back in the octagon for one more fight, or what do you think?
Oh, man. He should definitely ride off in the sunset, but funny story about that. I was going back and forth with Buffalo Blue, who I got reminded of last night is a fantasy fighting god. A god. I'm going back and forth with him, and he's never gonna let me live this down. We're going back and forth in the chat, and he's like, I'm gonna screenshot this and save it for the rest of my life. I said, Hector Lombard is gonna kill Dan Henderson, and Blue replies, I think you're wrong. And I said, I forgot exactly what I said, but I said, are you crazy? What's he gonna do? Knock him out in the second round? And then Blue goes, yeah, actually, that's exactly what's going to happen. And I said, you're crazy. Hector Lombard, KO1, enough said, next question. And there you go, man. So I'm going to be eating crow for a while for that one. But, yeah, he's Blue's one of the best, man. That guy's uncanny for picking those great dogs. But I think Hendo should retire because it doesn't really get much better than that. What do you guys think? You know?
Yeah,
guys. I mean,
go ahead, guys.
Go on.
Hey man, we all think he should retire, man. He's done enough. He go out on top, man. He's got a good looking hot wife. You know, don't fight
right.
no more. But hey, Al, man, I had a bunch of people ask questions online. Can you take some questions from the fans of Hal from Chicago?
You got it. And by the
okay,
way,
man.
I tell Dean the same thing. I tell Dean from Georgia the same thing, that he should retire after being MVP last year.
Oh my God.
You went out on top.
Yeah.
Just disappear, stop calling, just take that award and go with it.
Yeah, I've never heard of Dean, and I've never heard of this Buffalo Blue you speak of. But my first question, man, is from Fedor Sweater, man. He wants to know, how does it feel to impersonate a doctor?
Oh.
Where's Danny?
Shots fired.
Where's Danny Okers with the but I'm you guys all got your producer?
Yeah, the rim
shot. Yeah, he's asleep. He fell asleep.
I love impersonating a doctor. It's great. I get coffee every morning.
Hey, one other question, man.
Oh.
One other question from Jason Ford in Vegas. He wants to know. Hey, don't ever interrupt me again. Hey, this question is from Jason Ford. He wants to know, what exactly do you do for Viacom, and do you shower after cashing their checks? How do you shower after cashing checks?
Oh my God! Listen, Bellator, Bellator is legit, man. Look at that; they got big guys now. Phil Davis. Well, let's not go with Ben Henderson real quick, but Ford's a hater. You know, I'm not. It's something that Junkie Nation taught me. Junkie Nation actually taught me a lot about the internet. And number one rule is, first of all, have thick skin. That comes from my man Blake in the 209. And secondly, don't feed the trolls. So next question. I don't feed the trolls.
Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, Hal. I gotta do my gratuitous Mary Shag kill, and it's always topical, so I'm changing it. Jessica
right.
Penne Pasta,
okay.
Kat Zingano, or Rose Namajunas, Mary Shag Kill.
Why would that kill them? That's what I understand. How about can we, like, you know,
divorce?
Who are we going to ignore? Yeah, whose text are we going to ignore? How about, let's just say that.
Let's do that.
Let's see. So,
Penne, Zingano, Namajunas.
All right. Definitely going to marry, I guess I'm going to have to marry Zingano. I'm going to have to shag Penne, and I'm going to have to block Rose. I love her, but I got a feeling that we don't have a lot in common, so I'm going to go with that. Yeah. You know, especially it wasn't a hard choice. She looks like a 12-year-old boy, unfortunately.
Damn. Shots fired. Where's my drop?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There it is.
Hey, I got a question for Ford. I bet Ford thinks Rose is beautiful. He says Misha Tate looks like a dude, so he must think Rose looks.
I'm
like
I'm sorry, that's
like
completely off. No way. Misha Tate is a dime piece and a half.
Yeah. So hey, I got a question. Can I ask you guys something, man? Because I want to applaud you for doing the podcast.
Yeah,
it takes balls. And where do you guys see this going? I know Joe's kind of going for the maybe a little junky TMZ. Is that what we're going for here a little bit? And we got DJ doing a good job commanding the ship. And Proteus is just because somebody has to represent Canada. So Mark Bocek.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what I'd like to see this edit. We're obviously green. None of us are professionals. You know, I did a bit of radio back a long time ago, more than 15 years ago, mainly as a DJ, as a club DJ, and I was on the air on several, actually one radio station, actually two, if you count college. But I think what we'd like to see is like to continue to do what we do, definitely bring in an MMA professional, journalist of some kind every single week. Bring in a junkie, because that's what we're all about. And I think it's great having, you know, this show is about MMA Junkie Radio. It's not about MMA. We love the sport, but it's about MMA Junkie Radio. So, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe Dan Stupp somewhere along the line sees that we're good enough to join MMA Junkie and at least be a sound off or a podcast. But who knows where we go? We definitely know that we want to get more people like you involved, and we want to continue to interview journalists, because that's what we're all about. And of course, praise the show, everyone. I mean, we love MMA Junkie, Gigi and Goes, and that's what we want to do. Guys, what say you?
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. I'm cool with getting some of that sponsor money. You know what I'm talking about?
Whoa.
Joe. Yeah, man, I'm just here to get as many Twitter followers as I can, Hal. That's the name of the game, man. That's what I'm here for, man. I don't know what these guys are here for, but that's what I'm trying to do.
You want to find out the news before anybody else does. Is that correct? And so I guess that must apply to Junkie Nation. You want to know what everybody's kind of next move is. But so why don't you guys have maybe like little segments or something? You know what I mean? Like so you guys are basically an homage to the show, right? You guys are
without
focusing around Junkie Nation. Okay, all right. Because I'd like to just hear you guys kind of, you know, like how much time do you guys have for you guys just to shoot the shit and maybe talk about the show or talk about, you know, things going on in the nation? Is that your intention, or are you kind of trying to balance it with actual MMA podcasting?
I think we want to stick with, you know, the premise that is a show in MMA podcasting. We're definitely not going to go into anything deep because you'll psychoanalyze us. But, that's a joke, by the way. I didn't even do my own drop there. But, no, it's just going to be about the show and just about the show we love. I'm a big fan of yours, so I can say on my part, man, I'd love to have you, you know, come on as much as we can. Let me do a few Twitter plugs if you guys will allow me. First and foremost, you know, Dr. Hal, H-A-L, Psych, P-S-Y-C-H, follow him. You know, Joe was saying about Twitter followers. I don't have any. So definitely follow me at DJ Tony Radio. But, you know, Hal, listen, it's great having you on. I think you're amazing, man. You are probably my favorite caller, no doubt about it. And I don't mind that you rip on me because, you know, you do a better me than I do. So I'm jealous, Hal. Give me some of your material. But, Hal, it's a pleasure having you on board, man. Big fans, and hope to have you on soon.
For sure, guys. All right, guys. Hey, thanks.
All right, God bless. Thanks.
Thanks for the feedback. Bye, Hal.
How about that, Dr. Hal? Hal from Chicago, without a doubt, guys. I don't think anyone entertains me more than Hal from Chicago. I got to be honest.
Man, I think you're right.
Joe, I guess we'd be remiss, guys, if we didn't go a little into into what we saw last night. If we got to chat a little bit about it with Dan Stupp, but let's go into I know one of our favorites would say this, and here comes a drop with our 2 second delay.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
But I was, you guys. Bisping, Bisping. I was surprised, and you know me, that always loves the females. But I was kind of shocked seeing Jessica Penne get destroyed again, guys. What do you guys want to get into? We got to go into 199. Let's go Proteus.
Yeah, I'll start with Bisping. You know, I wasn't surprised by it. As soon as Luke came out with the statement that he had an injury, I just saw that happening for some reason. And I don't know why, but just the way that Luke was carrying himself and even the admission of having an injury.
Oh, yeah.
Sealed the deal for me. I was on Bisping.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty shocking to see, man. Like, I'm watching from my hospital room on my little phone here with my son, my brand new son, and I'm watching Bisping knock out Luke, and I'm like, yeah, that didn't happen. Like, am I sleepy? Like, what's going on here? And I look again, and Luke is on the ground. The fight's over, and I was shocked. I mean, anybody could beat anybody,
in three
guys.
Minutes,
that's the name
dude.
Of the game. That's the name of the game. Anybody could beat anybody, man. And to see Luke on the floor trying to wrestle the referee, I was shocked.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that we know about the sport, guys, is that we don't know jack about the sport. Because,
yeah.
You know, I got to be honest with you, and I'm a big – okay, so you guys know I'm San Francisco born and raised. You guys do know that I'm a big Bay Area homer, so let's just get that out in the open. So anything that is AKA Team Alpha, you guys, let's just get that in the open. But – I'm a big Rockhold fan, man, and I think he just came out unprepared. I don't think he gave Bisping any credit for any of his power, and
yeah.
I didn't think Bisping had any power. Let's get that. But I just think chin up, it's like I honestly thought that I think he thought he was invincible, and just to see him go down like that, I was shocked.
yeah, it definitely wasn't what I was expecting or visioning in my head either, but hey, it looked fantastic. I was out of my seat, you know, good entertainment.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, man.
Oh.
You know, let's talk about the co-main, man. That was pretty dominant,
yeah,
man.
Sure.
You know, Cruz, man, you know, he put a clinic on Faber, man. And a lot of people talked about, you know, Faber fighting Dillashaw one day. And man, way back, man, I said that fight will never happen. You know why? Because Faber knows that Dillashaw is so much better than Faber, and he'll never fight him. And I think that came to a little bit of a head, you know, for Cruz to make Faber look like that, man. Faber talking about he's maybe thinking about getting off the game, man. You know, he don't need a fight, man. That dude makes so much money doing other things. So, you know, let's see him walk onto the sunset with Hendo.
Hey, guys,
I know
that Rogan said this, but Cruz is getting better, right? Am I crazy, or is he getting better?
No, for sure he's getting better, man. Like Joe said, that was a clinic. Like, Faber had nothing for him at all. Just five rounds, just boom, 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 boom in the head. You know, it was beautiful to watch.
Yeah, you know, Cruz, man, it's just amazing, man, to see a guy be off for that long, man, in almost 3 years for injuries, man. And, you know, any one of us, I'll say 90% of people would have quit and just said, forget it, man, you know, I got the TV thing, let me do something else, man. But this guy never quit, man. He never quit. He believed in himself. He believed in his skills. And he got better, man. Who knew? Like, what kind of person is this guy? This guy's a freak.
Guys,
I
think the fight of the night, besides the surprise, Bisping Rockhold, I had fun with the Holloway Llamas fight, you guys, especially when Holloway points to the center of the ring and let's go, you want to throw? Let's throw. And man, that was entertaining, guys.
They just let loose, didn't they? That was crazy to end the round there. It was a great fight, though, you know, really, really entertaining and really – as Dan Stuff said, really showcasing Holloway's talent. I think he should be next in line for a title shot.
Well, what is that, 9 straight, man? I mean, that's pretty crazy to win 9 straight in the UFC, and he probably won't get the next title shot, man. I mean, he's probably going to have to win 10 straight to even get a title shot, and I really hate how that works, man, in the sport, man. If the guy deserves something, let's give him the shot, man. No holding up divisions. I mean, this guy's going to lose his next fight and then what, go back to the line, man? I really don't like that, man. The guy deserves it now. If he wants to wait, I'm not a fan of people waiting, but if he wants to wait for a title shot, albeit, man, but I don't see that happening, man. I think he's going to have to win one more to get a shot.
Hey, Proteus, let's get into Hendo Lombard. What's your take on that?
Yeah, wow. What a finish. I had Hendo from Go. And I just thought that he would just be in the right place. You know, Dan's punching power is kind of, you know, in close, but it wasn't even a punch that took him out. It was that beautiful back elbow right to the temple, and there was no getting up from that.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, man. You know, Henderson, man, you know, To me, he's been on his way out for, you know, his past like 7-8 fights, man. You know, the guy's pretty old, and, you know, all due respect to this guy, man. He's one of the greatest of all time, man. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he does the smart thing, the right thing, and hang him up after a great win, man. I always was against Lombard getting booked so quickly, man, after getting just beat down by Neil Magny, man. He had no business in that cage, man. And you know, he took a couple hard shots, man, but I don't think he had any business in that cage at all. And good to see Hendo. Hopefully he goes off with a win like that.
Hey, guys, we didn't really get into this, but as we're closing the show, well, we have a couple minutes, but big news, guys. I mean, obviously, the reason why Ariel, Casey, and Nestor are gone is that they broke the news. Lesnar coming back, guys? Really? I don't see it, and who does he fight?
Oh, the dreaded to be determined. Come on. I'm not a huge fan of this. I know why they're doing it. They're trying to get as much money as they can before they get out of the game. My question, though, to you guys is, isn't USADA supposed to be testing these guys for 4 months straight before they can fight? What's up with that?
You know, I think it's I think it might be 1 month. I could be wrong, but I don't know if you guys caught it. He was added to the roster maybe 2 weeks ago. There's a Twitter account, and I can't remember what the name of it, but they track who was added and who was dropped to the UFC roster, and he was added. So they tweeted, "Hey, Brock Lesnar added to the roster." So these things probably could have been in motion already. You know, I don't think they have to announce, "Hey, you know, Brock's back. We're going to start drug testing." I really don't think that's the case. So maybe the wheels have been turning, man. But I got to tell you, man, I got back into wrestling. I am so thrilled, man. I'm like beyond. You know, that promo last night of UFC 200 and the last 2 seconds with Brock Lesnar, like, man, that gave me some chills, man. You know, who cares? You know, nobody cares about belts anymore, man. It's all about entertainment. It's all about selling the most pay-per-views, man. And, you know, you can forget about that record, man. That record of pay-per-views is going to get smashed at UFC 200.
Yeah.
So who does he fight, fellas?
You got to give him a can, right? Like, you can't really give him anybody good. You can't give him anybody at the top of the division. I mean, it doesn't matter who he fights. He can fight a washing machine, and people are going to tune in, man.
Well, gentlemen, let's get into Diaz-McGregor 2. Man, I was hoping it wasn't going to come to pass, but too much money to leave on the table. Gentlemen, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, again, like I said on Junkie Radio, I don't really need to see this fight again.
Me neither.
It was really, you know, there was no doubt in my mind that Nate Diaz won that fight and that he was the better man. What really bothers me is how much control they're letting McGregor have over what he's allowed to do, who he's fighting. Dude, you know, 145, or you're a champion. At 140, was it 145? Yeah, and he hasn't fought there, and he's not planning on fighting there. That really pisses me off.
You know what, man? This fight, I was not a fan at first, and I wasn't a fan of the rematch. But I got to tell you, man, I think I'm kind of swayed the other way, man.
No.
This fight got so much buzz when it happened off of 10 days'
Media
notice.
Media machine got you.
Oh my God, dude, they got me, man. So I got to tell you, man, I want to see it now, man. I got to see it, man. You know, Conor, you know, I'm a fan of Conor, man. I like Nate Diaz. He's beginning to grow on me big time, man. And I got to see it, man. Let's make it happen. I'm glad they got the deal done. Let's see it happen,
hey,
man.
I'm not,
you know,
surprised.
Throw out the rules, man. There you go.
Yeah. And let's hope that Nate Diaz is actually getting paid, right? Let's hope he's getting Conor McGregor money.
Hey, gentlemen,
Dana. He's getting paid. He slapped Dana. He's getting paid.
Yeah.
I think that's what closed the deal, right, guys? Hey, we're going to wrap up the show. One thing is, listen, we have a new addition to the Amp Radio family, another MMA podcast. Joe just had a son. Joe, you know, give us a little bit about your boy, and congratulations, man.
Man, thank you so much, man. It's a blessing, man. You know, I don't want to get into too much detail, man, but you know, I'm very happy, man. You know, I've always wanted a son. I've always been into sports, and you know, unfortunately, my daughter, she's really not interested in sports, man. So I'm gonna get this dude trained. He's gonna be the best fighter, the best the best football player, the best basketball player. You know, he's going to be the greatest I can mold this guy into, man. And a lot of people have been asking me about his name, man. His name is Ronan O'Ryan. We got that name, man, Ronan, man. You know, I really didn't want the usual names, man. I don't want that because this guy is special. You know, he's going to be special, man, and I wanted something different. And the name just came to my mind, and I kind of like, you know, I was thinking of the fighter spirit, man, Ronan, the warrior, you know. You know, I just had that in my head, and I did not tell the wife, man. So the next day, my wife comes to me and says, "Hey, what do you think about Ronan?" And I said, "Shut up.
Oh, wow.
Shut the hell up. Are you fucking kidding me?" And we're watching TV, and what's playing on the TV? The movie Ronan. So I said, "You know what, baby? That's it. That's his name. I'm done. That's his name."
Gentlemen, listen, thanks. Hey. Thanks for the show. Great having.
Tony.
Yes, sir.
Tony, hang on. Before you close the show, we have to also say happy birthday to Mrs. DJ. So happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday, honey. Way to go. And you know what she would like to say? On every birthday when I buy her a gift, she always says,
"I'm not surprised, motherfuckers."
All right. Well, as always, guys, listen. Thank you for being on. We can't do this without our host, the man up north, the man in the red corner, the man who never has to say sorry, Proteus. Follow him at Proados. The man down south who's all his exes live in Texas, Joe Daddy 85. Follow him at Joe Daddy 85. And me, the DJ with the PJs at this hour, guys. DJ at DJ Tony Radio at another MMA cast. Thank you for joining us. Episode number 2, the great Dan Stupp, Hal from Chicago.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.